opinions presented in this program do not necessarily represent those of WGBB or its employees. You're listening to 1240 WGBB.
The views expressed in the following program do not necessarily represent those of the staff, management, or owners of WGBB.
From the heart of the nautical mile, you're listening to the station that serves your community. AM 1240 WGBB.com and 1240 WGBB Freeport.
I will remember the covenant I made with you in the days of your youth. Live from WGBB, Long Island's oldest radio station. This is the most listened to show on WGBB. It's time for Listen Up. Jesus is on the air. And so here we are, another show, another day, and some more great guests. And I just want to open the show by wishing my partner, Dr. John Palmer, the best, and letting him know that he's in our prayers. He's in a hospital right now, and he's undergoing some tests. But John, we miss you. I wish you were here. I still have the duct tape here ready for you. And if you're listening and you're feeling better, by all means, call in. So welcome, everybody, and thank you for coming. It's what? Okay. All right, you shut this music off? Okay, let's shut off. So let me welcome the guest here. We got a little help, the music. I wanted to play it to the end, but it's okay. So we got two guests. We got youth. We got 13-year-olds that are interested in helping not only the community, but helping people around the world. So let's introduce them. So first we got Rally.
Yeah.
And you're 13, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you're going to be doing some stuff to help the poor. What are you going to be doing?
I'm going to be sending people on mission trips for our Shark Tank.
Oh, okay. All right. And you're going to be helping the poor, and you're going to be helping the people that are the unfortunate ones.
Mm-hmm.
Is that correct?
Yes.
And when are you going to be doing this?
We'll be doing it as soon as possible.
Okay. And I know you're looking to start a nonprofit business and to help grow your wishes to get out there and evangelize and help the poor.
Yeah.
And then we have Allison. Now, Allison, you're going on a trip, aren't you?
Yeah.
So let's hear about it.
I'm going to Guatemala in July to serve people in Sampango. It's 15 minutes. Or an hour outside of Guatemala City, and I'm going to an HIV/AIDS orphanage to help to run a VBS for the kids.
Oh, and this is going through your church?
Yes.
And how many children are going?
50.
50? Oh, that's magnificent. And going through with your youth minister?
Yes.
Wow. When are you going?
July 12th.
July 12th. And so you'll be in our prayers. And I was floored when I heard your presentations on business and wanting to start a nonprofit business to help the poor and the ones that aren't as fortunate as you guys are. And I thought to myself, wow. You know, when the teenagers take a baseball bat and they start hitting people over the head, the news is right on top of it, sending it out all over the media. But when you have 13-year-olds that are worrying and looking to help the poor and the unfortunate and the people that need, that are sick, and not a word is mentioned in the news. And I think it's about time we did something about it. It's about time we let the world know that there are 13-year-olds out there that care about the unfortunate and care about the others. And you know, you should know, I don't want to do all the talking, but you should know, in the Bible, I did some research, and there are seven verses in the Bible that deal with the youth. And so just give me a quick second, I'm going to read it, and then I'm going to start asking you questions, okay? So God uses us at all ages. Though some do not come to know him until later in life, there are others who feel the burning desire to know him from adolescence. You guys. The Bible is filled with young, faithful believers who stepped out, despite their age, to a grand adventure with God. The Lord used them, not because of their age, but because of their hearts and what was in their hearts and the burning desire in their hearts. And and a lot of that is attributable to your parents. I'm sure your parents fostered that burning desire in your hearts. And my hat's off to you guys. To know him from an early age is to spend your life walking with him, learning from him, and getting to know him. Relationship like that, that will never get old. And this relationship, you'll see, will be getting stronger and stronger with Jesus. And so I'm flabbergasted that and honored to have you as the guest on our show. So let me ask you a question. When did you first start getting interested in the unfortunate, Allie?
When my pastor said that we have a meeting about like a missions trip that eighth graders were allowed to go.
Mm-hmm.
So I was very excited.
Were you?
Yeah.
And what did mom say?
Because my brothers and sisters went on mission trips before, so she was like excited that all three of us can go.
Oh, the trees are going together.
Yeah.
Wow, it's going to be a family thing,
mm-hmm.
huh? Oh, wow, that's great. And Riley, what about you?
I started getting interested in the poor when I started going on trips to underprivileged places, and I saw how other people lived and compared to how we live.
Wow. So what do you plan on doing? How do you want to help the poor?
I like to help them by giving them like the necessities that they need to have a better life for them and other people around them.
And what do you expect to accomplish, Allison, in Guatemala?
To make the lives of other people like better by us helping them.
And Mom, what do you think about your daughter going to Guatemala?
I think it's a great opportunity for her and all of the kids, because it just shows them how willing they are to help other kids and people that are unfortunate, and just to reach out and... That's best.
Well, your encouragement for her to do it is a wonderful thing. And without that encouragement and backing up, she wouldn't be able to do it, I'm sure. And so how about Riley's mom, Marion? What's your thought?
I admire Allie for going to Guatemala. I think it's an amazing experience.
Oh, John is on the phone? Turn him in.
Oh.
Okay. Good. Finish.
I think it's an amazing experience, and that's a life lesson she's going to learn, and always remember that for the rest of her life.
Absolutely. And so will God. And Dr. Palmer, welcome. How are you?
You're killing me.
Oh.
You're doing the show, and you're killing me.
Why? What'd I do?
Make this pain go away. He's doing the show all by himself. What nerve, what nerve, what nerve.
And I told
good job,
Trevor.
Good job, Tony. Good job, guest.
John, we miss you. We love you. This is Dr. Palmer, by the way.
I'll be back.
I know you will. And
I can't leave you alone. I can't leave the shop.
And you're in our prayers. And we miss you. Now, listen, you're on the show. What do you want to ask our guest? What do you want to ask Riley and Allison? Anything special in your mind about doing the work of God?
I know you guys are going overseas, and I know God's leading you, and I'm telling you now, he's going to bless you for doing his will. He loves you, and your special kids, and your family is special, and because they support you in what you're doing. God bless you all.
Oh, thank you.
Amen.
John. Amen. And John.
Bye, Tony. Bye, everybody. See you next week, maybe.
John, I love you.
You too.
Okay, I'll see you later. Take care, John. Thank you. God bless you. And that was my famous Dr. John Palmer. And he's in our prayers, and we'll be saying some special prayers later on, I'm sure. Now, I was just wondering, Trevor, can we play song number one on the disc? Each one, reach out.
My Bible tells me that.
Okay.
We're either a missionary or a mission project, because we're to go into all the world and to preach the gospel and lift up the name of Jesus, that he might draw all men unto himself. Today a man is somewhere proclaiming the good news, winning families to Jesus all around his neighborhood. He tells them that God is able to make their house a home. He wants to win his world for Christ, that he can't do it alone. But each one can reach one. As we follow after Christ, we all can lead one. We can lead one to the Savior. Then together we can tell the world that Jesus is the way. If we each one reach one. Now the message is unchanging. Go ye into all the world and share your love for Jesus far away. You see, just like somebody told you that Jesus loves you so, you must tell someone who will tell someone until the whole world knows. For each one can reach one. As we follow after Christ, we all can lead. We can lead one to the Savior. Then together we can tell the world that Jesus is the way. If we each one reach one, so will you go and labor? Will you hold?
That's a good lesson, isn't it? Each one could reach one, and if you just stretch out, and you never know whose life you're going to touch. And you know what? From experience, I could tell you guys, you never know when the lives you touched, one of those lives are going to come back, and you're going to cross paths with them. So, and they're going to know who you are but you're not going to know who they are. So something to look forward to. By the way, I also have an unsung hero here that I want to introduce. And she's a great gal. She's done fabulous work with students. She's a business teacher, and of course, that's my love. That's my forte. And so I want to introduce a very, very nice young lady, Mrs. O'Connor. Nancy O'Connor, you're on.
Good morning, Dr. Chiffo and listeners. I want to thank you, first of all, for having us here this morning, Dr. Chiffo, and for giving us all this opportunity. Allie and Riley are terrific young ladies with a very, very bright future. I'll just give a little background about the project that they participated in.
Yes.
Okay, so I have an eighth grade business class, and the students in this class run the school store for one semester.
Yes.
And they learn all about, you know, running a business and pricing and marketing, advertising. And then they take all their knowledge that they learned throughout the semester and apply it to a final project. And the final project is for them to build and create their own business. So they have to name it, they have to create a logo and a slogan, they have to have a mission statement. We talk about their target market, they do advertising, we've added a lot of social media advertising to reach out to their audience, and they can do a website, a radio commercial, they have business cards, and so they work on this for about 3 to 4 weeks, and then we have some sharks come in. It's called the Shark Tank Challenge, and we have about 9 business members throughout the community come in and share their time, and they listen to the students' presentations. And we have a first round, and then there's 3 groups that go into the final round, and from there they're put in first, second, and third place. So Riley and Allie did a tremendous job, and we did a little something different this year. The kids used to be able to pick a business, a for-profit business, that was either set up as a sole proprietorship, a partnership, or a corporation. But this year, I let the kids do a little something different. And if they wanted to start a nonprofit, so Allie and Riley really went with that, and they started a business called Making Footprints. And this business, I mean, these two young ladies are just 13 years old, and all they do really is think about others and paying it forward, and you know, how they can be a blessing to others and help others who are less fortunate than they are. And I'm so proud of them, and they are terrific young ladies, and I really think that they can turn this business into something real one day and make it into a real nonprofit. And basically the bottom line is that they're going to be raising money to help support other people to go on mission trips around the world.
So now, isn't that so great that our children, our kids, are worried and concerned about going around the world and doing mission trips and spreading the word?
I think it's fabulous.
And helping the poor and the needy. And doesn't Jesus say, if you help the poor and you help the needy, you help me? And I guarantee you that will be what Jesus for you guys for the rest of your lives. I'm positive of it. And what you do for the poor, you do for me. And I'm just so at awe that you guys are so concerned about the unfortunate and willing to go to a foreign country that you probably don't know anything about and you don't know what's there, and you're willing to take whatever comes and just get on your hands and knees and work with them. God bless you guys. And they also came in the running on the Shark Tank, didn't they?
Yes, second place.
Second place, yeah. And they were great. All the kids did a great job. And
Thank you.
I always enjoy being here.
Thank you for your support and your time.
Oh, that's my pleasure. I got to ask you guys something. When did you first realize that you were concerned about the unfortunate? Did it come to you suddenly? Did it come through your parents? Did it come through the church? How did Jesus convey his message to you guys to be concerned about the unfortunate?
It concerned me when I went on all these trips to different countries, and it dawned on me how other people are living so unfortunate, and they don't have a lot of materials or necessities that we do, and they're going around with no shoes, and they're skipping school. They don't even have school, just to make money to basically survive, while we are here taking school basically for granted, and we can have like jobs for everyone. And down there, like in Dominican Republic, they don't have like enough jobs to support other people. So
what do you plan on doing as you get older in life? Do you have a plan for besides starting this nonprofit business? I think that's very commendable that at 13 you guys are looking to start a nonprofit business to help the poor and to help the unfortunate. Is that what you plan on doing?
Yeah.
And how about you, Allison? What's your when did you first become interested in the unfortunate and the depressed?
Well, my sister and brother, they went on previous mission trips to D.C. and South Dakota and all that other places. And when they got back, they all told me about, like, what the situation was. So I was like, when my time comes, I'm going to go on a mission trip and help other people.
And so your time has come.
Mm-hmm.
And Jesus is guiding you. And believe me, this will stay with you for the rest of your lives. In the Bible, there are 7 verses about youth and what God really expects, and some advice and some things that each one tells us. For instance, Timothy 2:22. Says to flee the evil desires of youth and pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace, along with those who call on the Lord out of the pure heart. And so, to me, I think that's what you guys are doing. These are reaching out to do the Lord's work. You're actually saying, here I am, Lord, use me. And I think that's very commendable for 13-year-olds to be thinking in that light and in that fashion. So tell us, Allison, tell us a little bit more about it. I see you have the book on Guadalcanal and your mom is pointing something to you. Tell us a little bit more about that.
So, yeah, we go on the training retreat, which is in March or April.
Mm-hmm.
And we get our teams and we train like with your team to like be there for each other if we have like any problems, and like bond with your team because you're with them for like a week. And
So you go in teams.
Yes.
Oh, that's good. That's very good.
And like you prepare your heart with God, like your walk with God. So like emotionally.
Oh, I think that's a beautiful way you said that. You prepare, before you go, you prepare your heart for God emotionally, and I guess that's an important thing. And also emotionally, and also in a way that God is looking down upon you and blessing the work that you guys are going to be doing and are doing. And he says, if you help the poor, you help me. Whatever you do for the poor, you do for me. And that's what you guys are doing. And I think that's an extremely commendable thing. So what do you expect to be doing when you get into Guatemala?
We're going to an HIV and AIDS orphanage to do a VBS with the kids.
I see.
And other teams are building houses and adding on to a local church.
Wow. So you guys got your work cut out for you, huh? You mm-hmm. looking forward to it?
Yes.
And I'm sure God and Jesus will bless this trip and bless the both of you guys on your endeavors to help the poor. And I really have to say that I am also appreciative to the parents, because without your parents' support and without their love, you wouldn't be able to do this. And it's they're the catalyst that allows you to go on these trips and to help the poor and to give your fruition fruit to grow and your love to grow for other people. And I commend you, parents, for allowing that to happen. That's a great it's a great trait, and I think that's something that all parents should be doing right now. And I think we would have a much, much better world. So parents, tell me, what do you think of your kids? What do you think about their endeavors? What's your thought?
I think that
that's Marion.
I'm Marion. I think that these two girls are amazing young ladies, and I can't wait to see how they develop later in life and what they accomplish, really.
You know, I feel the same way. I honestly feel the same way. And you know what? As I said, it's because of you guys. It's because you parents that are encouraging them. And how about you, what's your thought, Jean?
I think they're true both of them are true blessings, because you know what? It is, we are very fortunate in this country. And when they go out to another country, they see how much they really do have, and they see how much these kids don't have, and how they can help them, even just for a week, just to help them grow and just have a relationship with somebody and with God. And I'll just read. It's just, as Christians, we are called to serve God's people. In Matthew 25, Christ tells us that when we're serving one another, we are in essence serving him. When those God created in need, we as Christians need to be his hands and feet. So I think these both girls are definitely his hands and feet in wherever they go, wherever they serve. They're blessing him, and they're blessing this world and making a difference.
Oh, absolutely. And I think, you know what? Those were beautiful words that you said. And I think that they... I'm excited. I'd like to last a little while longer to see what's going to develop with you guys, with you girls, because I think there's going to be some great things happening. And if you keep this, and you will, by the way, Jesus will keep his love, your love for other people in your hearts, I'm sure. I just want to read something that I also took out of the but God uses us at all ages. Though some do not come to know him until later in life, there are others who feel the burning desire to know him from adolescence. And I think that's you guys. The Bible is filled with the young, faithful believers who stepped out, despite their age, into a grand adventure with God. And I equate that with you, and I equate you. You may not know it, but when God gave you the call, you probably said, here I am, Jesus, use me. And guess what? Once you tell Jesus, use me, fasten your seatbelts because you're going for a ride, and I think that's what's going to happen. And I think you're gonna have a great life. I think you're gonna have a great ride, and so. The Lord doesn't use you because of your age or because of your thoughts, but he uses you because he knows what's in your heart. He knows inwardly how your heart is, and your heart is to help others. And to know him at an early age is to spend your life walking with him. So you're fortunate 13-year-olds. Because you're getting to know Jesus at an early age. And once you get to know him, you have to remember, he's not only your best friend, but he's also your big brother. Because we are children of God. And God has made us Jesus' brother. And so with Jesus being our brother, he's never going to abandon you. He's never going to desert you. He's going to be by your side. And he's going to let you know, here I am. Don't worry. Let me carry it. Let me carry your problems. And so this is the only a beginning stage of you getting to know Jesus. And I'll tell you, and Dr. Palmer will tell you, because Dr. Palmer knows Jesus very well, and he'll tell you, once you get to know him, he never leaves you, and he'll always be there with you. So I just wanted to share that little thought with you guys and let you know that I think you're on a great track. A great track for life and a great track for living. And my feeling is you guys are going to be doing great things. I just hope that I'm around. But I'll be somewhere, up or somewhere, but... I'm looking forward to the things that you guys are going to accomplish and going to do. Because at your age, with that desire in your hearts and your wisdom, I think that God will lead you to great things. I think I got to talk a little bit about John the Baptist. But before I talk about John the Baptist, I want you to know that I want to read a reflection on tomorrow's scriptures. We have a pastor that writes a reflection for us every week, but he doesn't want his name mentioned. So usually Dr. Palmer reads it, because I'm from Brooklyn, and I have a Brooklyn accent, but Dr. Palmer is very refined and reads it very well. So I know, Dr. Palmer, if you're listening, I know I can't replace you, but, you know, forgive my Brooklyn accent, okay? So the scripture says, God did not make death, nor does he rejoice in the destruction of the living. For God formed men to be imperishable. The image of his own nature, he made him. It is surely wisdom to affirm that God is not the source of death. God made us for eternity. It is only man's sinful nature that introduced death into the world. Yet, how often do we find ourselves blaming God for death because he wants an angel in heaven? Neither does God strike someone down because they have done evil things. Humanity's fallen nature, which exists because people use their freedom to choose to go against God, is capable of destroying both body and soul. When we choose to satisfy our finite human nature over God's promises of immortality for us, we reap the consequences, which are division, betrayal, corruption, greed, and death. And when we choose to follow the way God has proposed to us, we find ourselves on the path of eternal life, for after the image of his own nature did God make us. And that's the scripture. And so I think I see you guys in this reading here, because I see you guys are following God's path and God's what do you call. And so I see great things for you. Let me get on with John the Baptist, because I've been promising John the Baptist that I was going to do his story. So everyone wanted to see John. He was a weird man, dressed in a simple camel's hair clothing, tied with leather felt around his waist. He lived in the desert, some way from Jerusalem near the River Jordan. As far as people could tell, he lived on honey and locusts, which are insects, a bit like grasshoppers, that are carried by the warm desert winds. People came from all around, curious to see this man who looked as they imaged the prophets had looked in older times. They also thought he might be the promised one, the Messiah, who God had said would one day come to save the people from their troubles. They didn't come just to look. They also came to listen. Give up your sinful ways, he said. Be baptized and God will forgive you for all the things you've done. Many people were baptized by John once they said that they were sorry for their sins. He would lead them into the River Jordan and lower them into the water for a moment as a sign that they wished their sins were washed away. But they knew this was not enough. What else must we do? The people asked the man they knew as John the Baptist. Whoever has two shirts must give one away to the man who hasn't got any. And whoever has enough of food must share it. Now I know why I had selected John the Baptist. Now I know why, because of you two. I didn't know about this. Some tax collectors came to be baptized. The teacher didn't collect more tax than you're supposed to, John replied. That made the crowd smile because the tax collectors were famous for demanding more than they should. Then some soldiers said, "What about us? Don't make false accusations and don't take money from people by force. Be content with your pay." All this made people wonder more and more if John was the Messiah they were waiting for. When John realized that they were saying what he was saying, he immediately denied it. "I baptize you with water, but someone is coming is much greater than I. I'm not good enough to tie his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit." And indeed, very soon after this, Jesus came to be baptized by John. The two men were known each other when they were young because they were cousins. John now looked at Jesus and understood who he really was. He turned and spoke to the crowds. "This is the one I was talking about when I said someone was going to come that is greater than I. I don't know who it would be, but now I know." John then turned to Jesus. "I ought to be baptized by you," he said. "No," said Jesus. "You must baptize me because that way we shall do what God wants." So John baptized Jesus in the River Jordan, and John lifted Jesus up out of the water. It seemed as if the light settled on Jesus like a white dove coming down from the sky. But John and Jesus believed that it was the Holy Spirit, that God was placed in what had been done. Ever since John had been known as the forerunner of Jesus, the one who prepared the way for Jesus to begin his work on earth. After John had baptized Jesus, he continued to preach in the desert. He also started speaking out against the local ruler, Herod, the son of Herod, who had tried to kill the baby Jesus. Herod had divorced his wife and married Herodias, who was both his niece and his wife of his half-brother Philip. John said that Herod was wrong in marrying her, so Herod had John put in prison. He didn't dare have him killed because John was so popular, but Herodias wanted John dead. She got her chance on the day Herod's birthday. Her daughter, Salome, performed the dance. The way she did this, so she pleased Herod, that he rashly said that he would give her any wish that she wanted, even half the kingdom. And when she asked her mother, Salome, "What should I ask for?" she calmly said, "The head of John the Baptist." Herod was very upset when he heard this. Even so, he made a pledge, and he sent the soldiers into prison, and they beheaded John the Baptist, and put his head on a tray and brought it back to Solomon, who gave it to the mother. And so that's the story of John the Baptist. But that's also the story of how, now I know why the Holy Spirit wanted me to use John the Baptist, because he wanted it equated to you two gals. So that's the story. So let's get on with another song. Could we have song two, Trevor? Okay, then play 16. Okay.
The disciples were assembled in the upper room. They didn't know that Jesus would be leaving very soon. They talked about his kingdom as they read it for the feast. Who would be the greatest? Who would be the least? Well, one said that there's a greatest. We'll serve each other.
I have come to serve, and that's what Jesus says, and you will serve too. So that brings me to a voice from where the Lord knows that people come to serve, and they know he knows your ability to serve and to carry out God's plan. But I want you to know that although if you do get the call from God to serve, it's not an idle call. It's a call that he knows that he wants you to serve because he's going to be there with you and he's going to help you to serve. So whatever your plans are in life, and may I strongly suggest that you continue your love for the unfortunate and continue your concern for the poor and the hungry and the homeless and the sick, and he'll give you the energy and ability and let you know what you can do about it to serve. So I envision you guys as saying, "Here I am, Jesus, pick me. Here I am, Jesus, pick me." And I think that's a good thing, and I think that the world is going to be a better place because of you two gals, and I really do. And as I said, I'm just can't wait to see exactly what's going to happen and how you're going to make a difference in this life. Proverbs 22:6 says, "Start children off on the way they should go, and even when they are old, they will not turn from it." And that's your assignment, parents, and that's what you did. And I have to tell you, you're doing a good job. So, Ms. O'Connor, what do you think about all this? What do you think about coming to serve and teaching your class and coming up with students that are such righteous kids?
I think it's fantastic. Like I said, this was the first year that I threw out the option of starting a nonprofit.
You floored me.
Some of the groups, you know, ran with it. And I think it's, you know, the Making Footprints nonprofit. I think the girls, Allie and Riley, have a tremendous foundation for the start of something really wonderful in the future. And I hope they stay in touch with me, and I can stay in touch with Dr. Chiffo. And
well, they're blessed to have you, to have come in your acquaintance. I'll tell you that they really are.
I feel like I'm the blessed one.
Now, where did you get the name for this nonprofit? How did you come up with this name? I mean, it's a great name. I love it, but there must be a way or a reason you came up with it.
We came up with the name Making Footprints by, because we thought that we would make an impact on the world one footprint at a time. So we thought every footprint, so we made
Lord.
Footprints.
Wow. I think that says a lot. It really does. And so if this nonprofit business comes to fruition, which I think I have a strange feeling it is someday, what do you plan on doing with it? What do you want to do with your nonprofit?
Talk about serve.
Serve God.
Ah, serve God and do God's job. I think that's a great.
Make a difference.
And you will make a difference, and you absolutely will make a difference. And I don't know if I asked you this question before. This may be a tough question. I'm sorry, I'm asking a lot of tough questions. but when did you first decide that you wanted to do more to help the unfortunate in the world? How did that ever come about?
It came to me after I went on all these trips all around the world. And I've seen firsthand how basically the majority of people in the world are living. And that sprung upon me when I came back to the United States and I saw the tremendous difference from how other countries are compared to the United States. And Allie and I, we want to help and we want to make a nonprofit for a Shark Tank. And that's how Making Footprints was created.
So you actually saw firsthand what the other part of the world lives like, well, looks like.
13 trips.
You've been on 13 trips?
Yeah. Russia, Estonia, where else? Sweden,
Africa,
Tunisia.
Yeah.
Wait a minute. You've been to all these places?
Yes.
At 13 years old?
Quinn's been too. He's only 8.
Is that right?
He started when he was 2. After my mom passed away, she passed away in 06. And then I just had the thought in my mind, let's go on a trip. So we did a Mediterranean trip, and we went to Spain, Malta, Gibraltar.
Italy.
And then it just started going. We had such a great time as a family. We stayed for 3 weeks on one trip. And then another time, we just kept going. Every summer, we went on a trip. Most people save for cars or, you know, whatever they want in life. I save for trips because I think it's a great experience for kids.
And look what it did.
Yeah.
It brought her to reality at 13 years
old. Kids have no idea here what the majority of kids, what they suffer through every day.
And how blessed they are to be part of this country.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's, it's the parents that do it, I have to tell you. And there's no question about it in my mind that the parents are behind the children. And when you look around, when you look back, you know, when you graduate, when you do graduation and you look behind you, you're going to see your parents there because that's why you, that's who made you graduate. When you do something and you turn around, you're going to see your parents there. It's the parents that do this for their children. I got to compliment both of you's parents that you've instilled the love of God into your children. And that's pretty saying a lot. Thank you. And I have one more question. I know I'm asking hard questions. But do you get some sort of satisfaction in your heart when you do help somebody out that's unfortunate or more fortunate than you are?
Yes.
And how do you feel?
I feel good because it's helping other people, not just like helping myself.
Mm-hmm. And how about you?
Yes, I feel satisfied when I help other people because it makes me feel good that other people are happy rather than just myself.
And unfortunate.
Yeah.
So you're doing God's work. You're doing exactly what Jesus says to do. And I think that the call that you got at such an early stage of your life is tremendous. And I think, that's what's going to make our world a better world, we hope. And continue doing your good work. I think I think Jesus is very happy with you guys. I really do. I do want to say a prayer, if we can. And I want to pray for, these are our petitions, and I just want to say a quick, if we can hold hands, and we can say, I'll say a prayer, and then anyone else that wants to add is welcome to do it. So Jesus, we give you praise and glory and thanks. Thank you for sending us these wonderful guests. Thank you for helping enlighten ourselves and the world about the way Allison and Rally think, and that there are more teenagers and children out there that think like this. Our world is not a dark world that so many people think it is. There's light there in the world. And once they find your love, Jesus, and once they find your existence, that light gets brighter and brighter and brighter. So we thank you. We thank you for Allison and thank you for Riley. We thank you for their parents. Thank you for Mrs. O'Connor, who's done such a great job. And we thank you, both Dr. Palmer and I, thank you for allowing us to do the show allowing us to bring these special guests to our audience. And thank you for having the audience listening to us. And Lord, audience, we want you to know we love you. You're in our prayers. And we ask, Jesus, also that you lift up the petitions, this big pack of petitions that we have in front of us. And you help them and you cure them. And the people that are sick and the people that are depressed, the people out of work, there are people that are all sorts of problems. And we know you said that give me your burden and I will carry them. So we're asking you to carry their burdens. And we lift up Dr. Palmer, who we love and respect. And we ask that you cure him right away and send him back to us. Send him back. I miss the guy. Send him back. I miss him. He's a lovely guy. And I think he likes me. Never told me he likes me, but I think he likes me. And so we asked Jesus that you cure Dr. Palmer and you send him back to us. He's got a lot of work to do. And you've given him a whole bunch of work. And if you allow me to help, I will be happy to help. So thank you, Jesus. Thank you for being our, not only our best friend, but thank you for being our big brother. And we ask that you bless our guests and let them continue to work with the Holy Spirit and do the good work that you would like to do. Does anyone want to say anything?
I'd like to bless Allie and Hat till I have a safe trip.
Yes.
Yeah.
Please have a safe trip, and you'll be in our prayers. And we want you to know that we want to have you guys back. So we'll have you back. And maybe after you do your trip, you two guys can come back and we could talk about it and see what you thought about the other people in Guatemala and how they live compared to where you live. All right? So we'll set a date, all right, Ms.
Yes,
O'Connor?
Yes, definitely.
Okay. So maybe we can close with a song. Trevor, with the last song, please. Number 16. Thank you, audience. We love you. Thank you for listening. And we hope you were inspired by our two teenagers that we had here. And if you have teenage children, maybe you can inspire them to do the work that these guys are doing.
There's a parent to cry, praying that they won't die. Will God hear their desperate plea? And he promised to bring
necessarily represent those of the staff, management, or owners of WGBB.
What you had may not seem like much, but to someone it's more than enough. So what will you do when the future in life depends on you?
Will Jesus say, when you don't
from the heart of the nautical mile. You're listening to the station.